Altuve swiping third. This one in the left. It is gone. Astros take a 3-0 Game 6 first inning lead. Chopped to short. Run scores. Out at second. Safe at first. It's 4-2. Little flat ball. That is trouble. And diving catch by Bradley from behind the runner. One of the best double plays in ALCS history. 3-2 pitch. Fly ball into right. Back at the wall. This ball is gone for a home run. And this game is tied.
Few goals at the beginning of the year, win the division, check mark that box. Win the division series, check mark that box. Win the American League, check mark that box. Let's go win the World Series. Yeah!
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, now that was quite the moment. Man, what a weekend. So much to get to, and we're doing it at tight ends in Webster. So come on down. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from tight ends in League City, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday from tight ends in League City. He corrected himself. If you want to get in today, no phone calls because we're on the road. You can also get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is blitzed. I don't know what Dell's is. I'm going to have to get Dell's Twitter.
Dell V2.
Dell V2, okay. Yeah. As Dell produces for us on site here. And the show's going to have kind of a morning show feel to it because Lance joins us usually at 5:30, and Granado's going to be out here hawking beer at 5:30. And Dell's here.
Yeah.
So you can also get us on the text line. You know the number for that. No Twitch today because we are on location. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Man, it was a fun sports weekend. What's happening, Hoffman?
You know, sports and traffic. Excuse me, ma'am. Can I get an iced tea, no lemon? Oh, sorry. My bad.
Yeah, 4:02, AJ's first insult to Holly, who was sitting here. Love it. That's better than a burp at 4:02.
Well,
before we get started with this, I was put off this morning when I walked in the meeting, and you've shaved your beard.
Is that like the big story?
Yeah, it is.
It seems to be a big deal at the office.
Yeah, because you no longer look menacing. You know what you look like? Did you ever see that movie, The Wanderers? You look like one of the Baldies from The Wanderers.
I don't know what to tell you then. Mm. Maybe I'm not trying to look menacing. How about that?
Well, it doesn't make you look friendly, but you look less menacing. Well, I have to say, it threw me off.
That's a good thing, right?
I guess it depends on your perspective, sure.
Well, if we're being totally honest, I was trying to clean up my beard and maybe went a little too deep, and I was like, well...
Might as well, right?
Might as well just fresh start it.
Yeah, you can always grow it back.
Yeah.
So, big weekend.
Okay, before we get into the weekend, when is this road going to be fixed? Like, why is
this?
Did
you exit too early? Because it was fine for me. Oh, okay, yeah, that was a mess.
Because I was like, oh, I got to get some gas.
Oh, that's...
And guess what? Once you leave Houston on the southbound side, there's no gas stations. I guess people down here just don't use gas.
There's one near a strip bar.
Well, I didn't find that one. So
it's a little further up the road. I only know because I've had to stop at that one in fear for my life.
Yeah, my truck is out here on like 2 miles to E right now. So I saw one up that way. So on my way home, I should be able to get some gas. But
it's kind of funny because I'm driving and I look at that exit and I go, boy, I wouldn't want to be stuck in that. What a mess.
Oh, my God. And like all the way up and down this damn stretch of 45, there's like – There's bulldozers and backhoe. How about you just do like a 1 mile chunk at a time? Is that too much to ask? Like, don't try to fix everything all at once.
Well, and they've done a good job of fixing it up to here.
And then all the access roads are, like, just closed. Yeah. I mean, what are we doing?
Well, you made it.
I made it. With 30 seconds to spare.
We needed the minute and 20 seconds worth of Astros highlights, but you made it. So there.
Yeah, it was a wild weekend. I was lucky enough to get to go to game six. And
no, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a good game to be at.
I took my my dad, and boy, when LeMahieu hits that home run, the gas just went out of that building.
I mean, it was just you could tell on TV. Yeah,
it was like, oh man, and it just felt. And maybe it's like. It's years of following Houston sports just ingrained in me, but it felt like it was going to go poorly from then on.
But isn't that our mindset? And that's why these guys are different. And we've been following Houston sports forever.
They break all the rules.
When that happens, you think, oh, that's it. And what was funny was, okay, the pitch before where Osuna gave up the hit was a bad pitch. He got a fastball up, and it was right over the middle. That was actually a pretty good pitch to LeMahieu, and he just made a hell of a swing to knock it out. And, yeah, I think old-school Houston sports fan, you youngs, you haven't dealt with all this.
Y'all don't know what it's like.
Yeah, you don't know anything about Buffalo, Houston, or any of that stuff, or UH in 1983, or any of that history, or even the Astros in 86 and 1980. That's the mindset that all of us grew up with, right? So you're expecting them to lose at that point. But Osuna bounces back and actually gets two big outs there. And then Altuve with the moment. I mean, it was just amazing.
Is Holly signing autographs?
Yes, Holly is here, and she will sign autographs for you if you want.
Is she signing people's mock drafts? Is
that, I think that's what she's signing, yes.
Oh, so. My God. What a big star she is. What a big star she's become. I'll gladly take pictures with you guys, like, you know, on breaks. It's all good. But the Astros winning that game, I mean, that was one of the coolest moments in Houston sports history in my mind. Like, that was
it's funny you mentioned
an all timer
because yesterday morning I'm sitting around and I'm writing my article for today, which is the top 10 Astros of all time. And somebody on Twitter sends me a DM saying, "Where does this rank among Houston sports moments?" I'm like, "Damn, I need to write that." So I initially had it fourth. I moved it up to third after I thought about it for a couple hours after I'd posted it.
I think there was a glaring omission from that.
Yeah?
Kiss of death.
That was like in the top 10, but it wasn't. I mean, the Rockets didn't have enough of that. There was a better Rocket moment even than that when Ralph Sampson throws the ball over his head against the Lakers to upset the Lakers and go to the finals in 86.
Yeah.
Just this ridiculous shot. But, I mean, you can make a case against Biggio's 3,000th, but I can't. You can't take any of those other ones off.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And
the Mike Scott no hitter was that was just one of the most incredible things.
And there was nothing football on there.
Well, guess what? Why would there be? Well, I mean, the biggest moments for football teams here are all Oilers losses.
That's true.
Like it was such a great moment when they came home after losing to the Steelers and 70,000 people were in the Astrodome. But really.
Yeah, and with the good of the Astros win comes the downfall of the Texans, which...
But you know what? I'm not at all that upset with the performance yesterday for a couple of reasons. And for one thing, they were down to homeless guys playing corner.
Yeah,
and
they started with homeless guys playing corner.
Well, they started with the homeless guys who at least will tell you a story and wound up with the guys who just sit there and hold out the... You know, the box, but the reality was.
By the way, there's strong work here today.
Oh yes, yes. There's snipers galore. So
googly moogly.
I thought that defensively, especially early, they just couldn't handle the Colts because they didn't have. For one thing, they're not going to be able to get the pass rush against the Colts that they did against the other teams because the Colts' offensive line is the best they're going to face, and. Without that, you're asking these cats to cover guys for longer than they can, and Jacoby was on his game yesterday. I was amazed that in the fourth quarter they came up with four stops and gave the offense a chance, and they just couldn't capitalize, in part, I think, because the Colts had a really good scheme and were playing terrific on defense. And, you know, that's a – to me, it's just one of those you kind of tip your hat to the other team. And I don't feel like the Texans played bad. I just feel like the Colts played better. I do think the
– I thought there was some poor clock management late in the game.
There was. It wound up not hurting them. It wound up not hurting them because they wound up getting the ball back, and then the ball goes off QT's hands for an interception. That was unfortunate. But the other interception that Watson threw in the fourth quarter was just – it's one of those that he's got to get those out of his game. And, I mean, that was just such a – in that situation especially, it was just such a dumb throw. And it's so frustrating because he'll do so many good things, and he does something like that. And you're like, really? You know, dude, you're not gonna take the next step until you eliminate that crap from your game. But overall, I mean, I thought they played pretty well. They just, you know, for one thing, I mean, I thought the Colts were going to win the game to begin with. And it just seemed like they couldn't do the complimentary thing. Like early on, they couldn't stop the Colts. And then late, they couldn't score on the Colts. I do think a couple of things that stood out. Number one, stop sending me your Will Fuller is any good stuff. The guy is a walking hamstring injury waiting to happen. He did it again. You can't count on him. He's had one good game this year where he went nuts and everybody was talking about, oh, you guys are wrong about Will Fuller. No, we're not. And I'll say it right now, Kenny Stills greater than Will Fuller. Because not only is he fast, he catches a ball when you throw it to him. And until recently, he didn't have hamstring problems.
Yeah.
Of course, you get to the Texans, and everybody has hamstring problems. But a lot of people were trying to put it on O'Brien. I mean, other than mishandling the timeout late, which I kind of get why that happened. It shouldn't have.
Well, also, why do you have a punter, like, dancing around in the end zone before taking a safety? Isn't the purpose of the safety to save time?
Theoretically, switch field position, but yeah. And
so he was just like, I'm going to walk over here real slow.
No, just turn around and punch the ball out of the end zone. Right.
Yeah,
away.
Or just it. Let it snap out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
Very odd. But overall, yeah. I mean, here's what I'll say about it. And this is maybe a blunt way to say it. I think the Colts are just a little bit better than the Texans. And we said that they're pretty close, and we give a coaching edge to the Colts. I think that's about what it is. I mean, these teams are pretty close, but the Colts are a little bit better because they're better coached.
I think that's the case. I also think just – and you never want to use injuries, but the reality is the things that the Texans do well on defense, like Tashawn Gibson's been really good against tight ends. Well, he's out, and suddenly they've got good tight ends. You can't guard them. It's back to what you were last year. They didn't have a player who could do that. They had guys like you covering T.Y. Hilton at the end. And, yeah, they didn't have the horses.
You know what? The Colts beat the Chiefs the other day without Darius Leonard. Like, they're by far their best player on defense. Everybody's got injuries.
Yeah, but, I mean, my point is, in this particular matchup, that was the worst possible injuries for them to have a chance to win the game. And
see, I disagree because going into that matchup, wouldn't you have thought the way the Colts were going to try to win was to run the football since that's the way they've won every game this year?
Not really, because the Texans have been able to stop the run.
I think the Colts just adjusted and said, oh, well, if the Texans are going to have nothing in the secondary, we'll just have to change the way we win games.
And that's coaching, and that's exactly what they did. And I don't think there's they weren't able to run the ball. That was one positive. The Texans really locked them down pretty well on that. But that's the strength of the Texans' defense. They were able to take advantage of the weakness. And, by the way, the Texans went out and got Gary and Conley today for a third-round pick, which I think is a good pickup. So I'm sure there's music playing in my head because I know we're way over. So we'll get
so the Texans' first pick will be in the fourth round next year?
Well, I don't know. They're going to have a couple of compensatory third-rounders.
Okay.
And they have this year's second-rounders. Next year's they traded, if I'm not mistaken.
I think the
two ones are gone, and next year's two.
Okay.
I'll double-check that on the break, but yeah. I'm almost certain that's the case. All right, we'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, Sunday, November 10th, doors are at 12:30, music's at 1. It's the third annual Foam Hinge out at the brewery, hosted by Eddie Trunk. This year's lineup includes Ace Frehley, Accept, High on Fire, Power Trip, Pat Travers Band and Narcotic Weekend. There's going to be free parking, $5 beers. Children under the age of 12 get in free. GA tickets available for $28, VIP for $100, which gets you a separate entrance, VIP area with an optimal view of the show, indoor restrooms, three beers of your choice, access to some special Carbach tappings, and a buffet by the Carbach restaurant and patio, plus a commemorative T-shirt. Go to CarbachBrewing.com to get your tickets today. And make sure you get out there for that great show. They've done such a good job with these shows. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You'll be able to keep up with everything that they've got brewing out at the brewery, everything they got cooking at the restaurant, and everything that they've got coming up in their concert series. Stop by the restaurant when you get a chance and try some of those beers. When you're out and about this week or at your bar here, like at Tight Ends, ask your bartender to pretty please make it a Carbach.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Tight Ends in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Tight Ends, League City. Come on out. Lots of, well, you were just talking about Carbach. We got a little Crawford Bach going on. What I'm having, lots of snipers, so good place. It is 2021 on the second round pick, so they do have a second round pick this year.
Okay,
so I was correct on that. But yeah, that, I mean, I don't have no problem with them trading a third round pick for a guy who, especially at that position right now, you desperately need. So he wasn't great in Oakland, but he's more of a man to man guy, and I think most people believe he'll be better in a man defense, and he'll step right in and start. It is weird to me that the Raiders trade him the week before they play you.
That is pretty weird.
I'm not quite sure what to make of that.
I don't know. I mean, don't try to guess what the Raiders are up to, what they're thinking about. Mm. That's one of those organizations. If you try to get in their head, good luck.
Yeah. So we're having some internet issues, so the text line not really happening, so you're probably going to have to hit us up on Twitter. Well, I said I really wish O'Brien exploited the Colts beat-up secondary like the Colts did to us, but I'm not mad at him or the Texans. I know you guys don't like officiating gripes, but that crew was trash. They were, but they were trash both ways,
yeah,
I thought.
I mean, I do think the one call, the in-the-grasp call, is like a game-changing call.
Yeah.
So I can see the argument for that. I mean, but it's also... They blew the whistle, and it's one of those things. That,
yeah, once you blow the whistle.
Had they not blown the whistle and Deshaun gets his leg broken, everybody's bitching. I mean, it's...
Well, and that's the thing. If you're a ref, that's a tough call because he is, I mean, he looks defenseless there.
Yeah.
And he did get popped. So
So they're trying to protect the player.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks because it took points off the board.
Although, if they had reviewed that, I'm not so sure Hopkins caught that ball. I don't know that
really?
He had control. He had it when he crossed the line, but I don't know if he had control of it because it came out awful fast.
Yeah, because I think he caught it before the line, and as long as you get across that line with the ball,
I think you have to have control, though.
No, it's only if you're going to the ground. These are all the – is it a catch rules?
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was frustrating. Overall, I mean, it wasn't a well-called game, but it wasn't if you don't look at that one call, I mean, if you do look take that call into account, that was the most important, impactful call of the game. But overall, it was generally down the middle.
Well, I think there were more impactful calls, but they were probably the right calls. When the defense couldn't get off the field on third down, when you're getting holding calls, when McKinney is getting personal foul calls.
Well, McKinney's a dummy. And not only that personal foul, but then he goes and knocks out his own teammate. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
he kills Phillip Gaines, who was actually – the one guy who was back there playing well for you in the secondary, and you're like, oh, they might have found something here, and now he's dead.
You talk about having a bad game. He had a bad game.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things. I mean, it's crazy to think about it, but Jacoby Brissett was better than Deshaun Watson yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
And
no question.
That's the difference in the game. And it's – had you asked me going in what would I have expected? I was, oh, well, Watson will be clearly better. I still would have thought the Colts. I still thought the Colts were going to win the game. Brissett was better. That just kind of locks it in. And it wasn't. It wasn't one of these showings like the games earlier this year, where the Panthers game, where they just didn't even show up. But it also felt like, I don't know, it didn't. It never felt like the game was really in doubt for the Colts. It just felt like the Colts were better. Even when the score was close, it just felt like the Colts were going to win the game. That's the vibe I got anyway.
Yeah, I kept, especially after they got the ball twice, when the defense finally starts stopping them, you think, okay, here's your chance, go down the field. Now, and taking the safety, I'm not so sure about either. I never like giving up points. And, you know, I'm guessing, okay, well, you think they're going to get the ball in good field position, it'll be easy for them to get a field goal. Well, it's still 8 points.
Yeah.
And your defense had just stopped them three times, two times, why not one more? So I thought that was, I mean, I understand the math of it. I don't know that I like that. I'm not a fan of giving up points in a tight game because theoretically you get the ball back less than a touchdown, you can win the game. And you know, and maybe they would have gone for two if they'd scored. I don't know. But as a whole, I felt like they had their opportunities late in the game and didn't take advantage of them. And I think part of that was the Colts, as well as the Texans' defense adjusted late, the Colts did too. And they took away some plays, and you know, I don't know that I felt like the Colts seemed to control the game the whole way. I never felt like the Texans were going to come up with that play at the end of the game like they did with the Saints to take the lead.
Yeah,
it felt like the offense was pretty stagnant at that point.
Well, they never led, and even when they were down 12 or whatever it was, like late in the third, and then it got about
28-16. Yeah,
okay, yeah, and it gets halfway into the fourth quarter. And they still hadn't scored anything. And really, yeah, it felt like the Colts at that point had kind of gone into a vanilla mode. And
they certainly did on offense. And they were trying to run the ball, and they couldn't run the ball.
Yeah.
And that was part of it, too.
So I thought it was, you know, when the Texans did score and they cut the lead, it's like, okay, well, that's nice. Is that going to be enough? And, of course, it ended up not being enough.
Yeah, and I never felt like at the end of the game they were going to come up with the play. And I don't know if it was – I don't know how to – I don't know if that felt flat. I don't know if they were partying too much after watching the Astros. They just didn't seem – the energy wasn't there. And
well, I can tell you one thing that was way different is Deshaun Watson was under some pressure. And the last 2 weeks, everyone's been bleeping each other's bleeps about how good this offensive line is now. And we forget that they played the Chiefs and the Falcons. And it turns out the Falcons are not only a disappointment – for the Falcons.
Oh, they're an embarrassment to God and everybody.
They're a really bad team. So they're not just like we thought they'd be better than that. No, they're really awful. And then the Chiefs, I mean, we know that they don't rush the passer.
They got 9 sacks on Flacco last week. And I'll tell
boy,
you
where'd that
Thursday.
Come from, by the way.
Well, I'll tell you where it came
going
from.
Going into yesterday, they were 26th in the league.
I know, but I'll tell you where it came from. And it goes back to last week. And I said it at the time, and most of you guys ignored me. They were getting guys loose to get after Watson. He was getting rid of the ball so fast they never got there. There was actually, you know, they didn't get to him, but if you go back and watch that, there were guys going after him that would have gotten to him if he hadn't thrown the ball after one step. And there was a lot of that kind of pressure. So the Chiefs actually were getting a good pass rush. They just weren't getting to the guy because every pass was one step, boom, gone. And when Joe Flacco stood back there on Thursday and tried to hang on to it, that's what happened.
Well, and the thing that's happened now, and with Watson getting rid of the ball faster, what you've taken away is Hopkins as a big play guy. Hopkins has now become like a short slant runner, almost, I don't want to say Wes Welkery, but it's kind of Wes Welkery.
He's always been kind of a possession receiver who could break big plays, but yeah, that's what you're getting out of him. 8 to 10 yard slants.
Yep.
And, you know, it's funny because QT hasn't looked like the guy that he did last year either. And
in how many games last year? What, 3, 4
yeah,
games?
Well, it looked like he had something for those 3 or 4 games, including the 2 against the Colts. But, you know, that was a kind of a flash in the pan thing because he's just a very average guy, which he's a 4th-round pick. What do you expect?
Yeah.
But I think the whole Will Fuller fraud is –
he can be good at times. He's going to be limited because his body doesn't want him to be a good football player. I mean, that's what it boils down to. He's just not built for it physically. He's not built to last.
Well, and I mean, in this one, it wasn't even contact.
No.
It was just, oh, ouch, hamstring.
It's another injury to his legs, so it's no surprise.
Yeah. But it'd be interesting to see moving forward. I think the Colts look like the better team now. I think we'll see how the Texans look when they get guys like Roby back, and if they work in Conley and see how the secondary looks moving forward, then maybe they'll match up better the next time. But, it really felt weird because it didn't feel like the Texans could run the ball at all yesterday.
But they couldn't. Watson had a couple.
But if you just look at the numbers, it looks like, yeah, they were okay, but it sure didn't feel like they had an impact running the ball.
Or the numbers. I felt like they barely got over 100 yards.
They averaged like 4 yards a carry, but a lot of that was okay. Watson. So
yeah, I know Watson had like 30-something
and they
yards.
And they broke a few late, too, when the Colts thought they were going to throw the ball.
But, yeah, it was a lot of grinding meh.
Yeah,
Hyde, 2.9 yards per carry.
Ugh. On 12 carries.
Yeah. And Duke Johnson, 7 for 34. That's not bad. So
Watson basically is the one that
he makes their numbers look
number.
A lot better. Yeah. 10.7 yards per carry.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. If you, well, you know what? Don't bother texting because right now I can't make it work here. So,
okay.
Sorry.
That's what she said.
Yeah, she said that a lot. Yeah. Well, not really because she wasn't that interested. But. Guys, I'll tell you what I'm interested in. That's getting in on a little action. You want to get in on tonight's game? You know where to go, mybookie.ag. And hit some good ones this weekend. Missed a couple, but did it all on mybookie.ag. And when you win, the cool thing is you get paid. Nobody pays out faster. And they've got a great sign-up bonus for you. If you've never been on one of these places, go to mybookie.ag, use promo code RADIO. And you're going to get a double your money offer, up to $1,000 in free money to wager on your favorite teams. They'll give you all kinds of other deposit options as well if you want to check that out. And also, if you're already a member, keep an eye on your email. They're sending stuff all the time for our reload options, all kinds of stuff, because they want you to enjoy the experience at mybookie.ag. Promo code radio, mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And I'll have some hockey plays later in the week. You can bet them on MyBookie. You got the NFL tonight? MyBookie. You want to bet the Astros to win the World Series? MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this special message.
Well, what's up?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with C-Force water.
I'll drink to that.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from tight ends in League City. This is The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, live here at Tight Ends in League City. Come on out. Got a nice menu here. Got a good beer choice, including Crawford Bock, of course. And the sniper quality, very high, I would say.
Stop with the sniper.
No.
It's not a real thing.
It is a real thing. You're just going to have to deal with it. And we've got kind of a morning show vibe here, because Dell's out here with us. So if you ever wanted to meet Dell.
Dell, who's thrilled to be here.
You could tell.
For sure.
Dell never looks thrilled to be anywhere.
Dell is for sure stoked about this.
You see Dell in the office. He looks like he's not thrilled to be there. You see Dell out here at a bar with all these attractive tight ends. And he doesn't look happy to be here.
I don't see David Njoku out here. What are you talking about?
Oh, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's what you're looking for in your tight end.
I'm not. Look, the 4:45 wake-up call added to the, let's say I get home about 8 o'clock. Yeah, I'm not thrilled, but it's fine. It's fine.
What, did you get a nap in today?
Not a great one. Only 45 minutes, AJ.
Oh, that's very disappointing.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I mean, customary an hour 45 is what I'm looking for.
You're young, man. I'm like up at 5:30 every morning working on that damn website all day long, and then come here to do the show. I'm smiling. I'm happy.
I mean, I'm not.
Well, I know, but that's you.
I had to get up early, too.
See, I have to balance.
I don't like that.
I have to balance you.
It's not fun.
It's not fair when I'm double-teamed here. I've got to be happy for both of you guys.
Phrasing. Phrasing.
And then traffic wasn't fun coming down. So, it wasn't ideal. See, not been the best. I was in meetings all day. Yeah, today's kind of sucked. And I lost my ass yesterday. Yeah, it did not go well yesterday. All those unders that I felt.
Yeah.
Nah. We're not. The only one that hit was the Bengals Jags because I got in earlier than everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, and by the and everybody's like, oh, by the time I saw that number, it was at 44 or what? And, oh, sorry, that's the like a moose of a century if you didn't hit that bet because
yeah, well, and it was and
thank
the Jaguars got like
that.
14 free points there at yeah. the end of the game too,
in like the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous,
brutal.
Well,
and you know what else? I've learned a lesson. I've got to stop betting against the Saints.
Yeah, I think everyone's learned that lesson.
That's
a good football team, man.
They are really good, and I don't think it matters who's playing quarterback. And they've punished me enough. I'm tapping out of that because I keep thinking, they're getting away with smoke and mirrors, and really everybody else that I've said is getting away with it with smoke and mirrors. It's been proven out to be true. Thank you, Seahawks, this weekend. That was obviously phony stuff.
That was one of the few I got right.
The Ravens got out there and punished them. But this Saints team, I was saying, man, I can't believe it's real. What do they do? I mean, they've been solid defensively all year long, but I didn't think their offense was going to be able to generate enough. Even against a team like they made the Bears' defense look bad. And I really, watching that game, I have no idea that they were doing anything special. I just think they're better. And so I've got Saints egg on my face because I think I'm 0-3 betting against them. I think against the spread, so I'm done. You got me. I've been fooled.
You win. World Series. Ryan, Chargers +3 with that fumble on the goal line. Ugh.
Yeah, but that's what you get for betting the Chargers anyway.
Yeah,
that was dumb. Yeah. And by the way, Melvin Gordon. That's like the worst. This has been the worst case of a guy holding out and then thinking he's going to get more money. So you did that holdout, so you missed a couple weeks, and then you come back. If you come back and you just ball out, it's like, oh, man, now we see what we were missing, and if we don't pay him, somebody's definitely going to pay him. Melvin Gordon looks like a backup running back now. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm sure glad we didn't pay you to be here weeks 1, 2, and 3. That would have been sad. So that was a
the Chargers are just the West Coast Falcons.
They might be.
I mean, both those teams. You look at the talent. You go, you shouldn't suck this bad, but they do.
Yeah.
JP says the Bengals Jags under not hitting was about as frustrating as it gets. For every bad beat, there's some other guy / gal celebrating an incredible win.
Except I don't know anybody who bet over the Bengals Jags.
Yeah,
game.
I don't either. I think the whole world was.
And if
under.
They did, they're the devil. That's all I can imagine.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Let me get back to the Astros for a little bit. And, yeah, if you get a chance, go to SportsMap. There's a lot of great stuff on there, including the top 10 Astros of all time, and I'm not going to go through them all because I want you to read the article. Where would you put Jose Altuve?
Number one.
Yeah, he is number one.
Before
he did that, I had him number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I've said that before. I think that this solidifies it. I do think – and someone was arguing with me on Twitter about this because I said as much after the game. Obviously, Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan, and Randy Johnson, these are the best players to ever wear an Astros uniform. Is Jose Altuve on that level yet? I say nay.
Hard to say. But it's hard to compare to pitchers.
But at what he's done as an Astro,
right?
He's the greatest Astros player of all time.
And
don't tell me Craig Biggio, for the love of God. Craig Biggio is
where would you guess I put Craig Biggio on the list?
Probably 5 to 6.
He's fourth.
Okay, is he behind Altuve, Nolan, and Bagwell?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
Yeah. The problem with Clemens, he only pitched here 3 years.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he did win a Cy Young, and he did get to a World Series, so that gets him on the list. But, you know, for body of work, that's not a – I mean, and that was the minimum. You had to be here 3 years, which is why Verlander's not on the list. He's only been here 2+. I think he'll get on there. But there were three guys on this team that made the list. And I feel like when you look at their accomplishments, especially postseason accomplishments – I mean, for a franchise that's been around 58 years, not a ton of success.
No.
And I was looking it up. It took 36 years of existence before they won 100 games.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because that didn't happen until 98. And then this team now has won 103 years in a row and three straight ALCSs. It's clearly the greatest era in Astros history.
Oh, not even close.
And not only that, I mean, that's why some of these guys are on that list, is because they're responsible for that.
Where does Verlander jump to if he were eligible?
I think he'll jump past Clemens, especially if he wins a Cy Young this year.
So he's like number five?
I think he'll be five or six, yeah.
Okay.
So, see, I knew this was going to happen. Then we'll start saying, everybody, go read the article.
Where's Jose Cruz?
Did not make it.
Article's trash. Sorry.
He didn't make it, and somebody was trying to make an argument for Joe Morgan, and if you go look at Joe Morgan's 10 years with the Astros.
But Joe Morgan's another guy in that conversation of greatest players to ever wear an Astros uniform, but his best years weren't here.
No, he played here 10 years and hit .261.
Yeah.
And he was part of the Big Red Machine. That's why he became, you know,
I'd argue Jimmy Wynn over Joe Morgan.
Yeah, Jimmy Wynn was close, but I mean, again, those guys were, Wynn and Cruz were like the best players on teams that just weren't very good.
Yeah.
And I think we glamorize them a little bit because, you know, and yes.
What about Bill Doran?
Did not make it, sir.
All right. We should have done top 20.
No, we shouldn't have.
Ken Caminiti?
I, you know how long I worked on that to get 10?
Ken Caminiti.
Like 17, probably.
Okay. Alan Ashby.
58.
Okay, by the way, speaking of former, well, I guess Astros broadcasters, are we about to hit a break?
Yes.
Okay, good. On the other side, we have to discuss drunk Steve Sparks.
I can't wait.
I mean, riding home from the game, it was, it was somewhat entertaining, but also made me a little bit sad. So I don't know if you heard it, but if not, we'll go over some highlights, and I'll probably do an impersonation.
I can't wait, because okay. I didn't hear it, because I'll be honest, I do not listen to the local radio broadcast. When I am listening, I'm listening to ESPN or Sirius.
Well, our coverage had ended. Our Astros coverage had ended. And I was like, well, let's see if there's... And they were doing locker room interviews.
Ah.
So you can imagine how that went.
But can I... But before I get to this read, I do want to give some praise to MLB Network. Other than Joe Girardi, who can't get over his Yankees Woody, those guys did such a good job. The post-game interviews that they had, and I mean, both the TV station and the Sirius XM station... They just did a fantastic job, and I watched today. They had a road to the championship, and they went back through the whole Astros playoffs and how they got there, and it was just a really well done thing that they turned around very quickly. So, praise for them, and then we'll talk about something that doesn't work quite as well when we come back. But right now, guys, it's almost here. Rockets basketball is only a few days away, and how about this? The first three home games of the season are all must watch. How about Thursday night, opening night? Guess who they're playing? The Bucks. The last three NBA MVPs on the same court. How about that? You're going to have Russell. You're going to have Harden. You're going to have Giannis. Then the Pelicans come to town on Saturday, October 26th. And finally, guess who's going to be back on Monday the 28th? Your buddy Chris Paul. So you're going to get a chance to see CP3 against Harden. You're going to get a chance to see CP3 against Westbrook. It is going to be intense. These will all be definite sellouts, so secure your tickets today at Rockets.com. You won't want to miss it. The season is here, and it's time to kind of get caught up in everything, because it's going to be a fun team, man, with Westbrook and Harden. And if you're not excited about it, then get excited about it. Don't want to miss it. Rocket season starts Thursday. Go to Rockets.com for your tickets today.
Everybody doubted me, but girl, you stuck around. And you told me if I hold you, you gon' hold me down. You don't gotta be perfect, you just gotta be worthy.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Tight Ends in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And demand on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, live from Tight Ends in League City. If you're just getting off work, you happen to be down south here in my old stomping grounds, get your butts over here. And you can get your picture taken with Holly, and she'll sign autographs for you, apparently.
Oh, yes.
So, so programming note, we'll have all the World Series games, correct?
Yes.
And there will be no conflicts with that. So,
nope.
And no conflicts with our show, which
no.
is good. All right, so what the hell did Steve Sparks do?
Okay. Somebody tweeted that Steve Sparks doesn't drink, which maybe this is just his personality, and I'm projecting drunkenness onto it. So I don't want to say for sure he was drunk.
You know
drunk.
What? I got to tell you, I whenever somebody's drunk on – this is why we're honest. We'll tell you we drink. Whenever somebody's drunk on air, everybody tells, oh, he doesn't drink. He doesn't drink. Bull bleep. The guy drinks.
Like Dell doesn't drink.
No, we know Dell doesn't drink.
But Dell's also never been in a – like I've never talked to Dell and gone, is Dell drunk? But he doesn't drink. Like if you talk to someone and they're acting drunk, I've learned there's one of two things that could be happening. One, they're drunk, or two, they had a stroke, and you're the only person who's broken the rule of number one. Usually they're just drunk. You had a stroke, and like I was sure you were drunk, but no, it turns out you just had a stroke.
I'd rather have been drunk. So that heals faster.
So maybe Steve Sparks had a stroke on the air. I don't know. It could, or maybe there's some option C that I just haven't discovered yet. But let's pretend for a second that I'm Steve Sparks now, and I'm in the locker room, and I'm grabbing random Astros, okay? And I'm going to need you to pretend to be those Astros because I'm going to interview
you. Which one can I be?
First, you'll be Jake Marisnik. Are you ready? Put yourself in that mindset.
Okay.
You're now Jake Marisnik.
Wait a minute. First, I have to get really depressed.
All right, guys. I'm down here in the locker room. Whoa, man. What a game. Can you believe it? How cool is it to play with a guy like Jose Altuve? You've been with him for years. You're on deck. You had the best seat in the house for it. What was it like for you?
I'm just glad he got a home run so I didn't have to bat and choke in front of everybody.
Man, Jake, I got to tell you, you're one of the funnest guys on this team. And, I mean, this group of guys, you just can't say enough. It's incredible. It's incredible how fun this group is. Are you having fun?
I've got impeccable hair. Of course I'm having fun.
Are you
fun.
Ready to go to the World Series? Man, you're going to the World Series. Jake, I got to tell you, I don't think there's a better center fielder in the game, my man. I don't think there's a better one in the game.
What about the other guy that George Springer guy?
No, he doesn't ask that. He just leaves that open. He's just – like Steve forgets that apparently there's a better one on the team because he's the backup center fielder. So if he was the best one in the league, you would think he'd be the starter. But A.J. Hinch has a different opinion on center fielders than drunk Steve Sparks. Now, who do you want to be next? You want to be, let's go. He was interviewing a bunch of random people, like people that really played very little role in the game, but
yeah.
he was like, oh, I got to.
So like Aledmys Diaz?
No, not him. How about, who can we use?
Brad Peacock?
But he did do Brad Peacock.
Okay.
You ready to be Brad Peacock?
I'll be Brad Peacock.
Brad,
my elbow hurts.
They asked you to come out and start this game. I'm sure, you know, you were excited to do it. How does it feel to know you were the starter for one of the greatest games in Astros history? In history, man.
Well, I was just trying to take them one pitch at a time.
Man, you're going to the World Series, man. Can you believe it?
Oh, we're just taking them one game at a time.
Now back to you. And then they'd be like, all right, and that's Steve Sparks down in the clubhouse. And then they're like, oh, let's go back to Steve Sparks with the director of Latin American scouting. And he's like, hey, man, you're going to the World Series. Woo! I mean,
it kind of sounds like a drunk Baytown badass.
Oh, you want to be Josh Reddick?
Sure. Wait a minute, I got to take my clothes off.
Okay.
And put on a Speedo.
Josh, you're a character, man. I saw you. You had some pro wrestling stuff going, and you had some
Dragon Ball Z stuff going, man. I mean, you're just a wild man, aren't you, Josh? Woo! Go on, now you reply.
Woo!
I saw you in a wrestling mask or something, man. Tell me about that wrestling mask. Hey, man, you're going to the World Series! Woo! I mean, it was...
Well, I'm sure he's excited. Yeah,
I'm sure, but...
Don't rain on his parade.
I mean, if he were going to the World Series, I'd understand. And here's the real question. This was maybe 30 minutes after the game that he starts doing these interviews. Maybe 30 minutes. He was in the booth through the ninth inning. So
all right, maybe
either he gets drunk really, really fast, or he was preheating his oven starting about the seventh inning and just being like, you know what? I'm getting sauce tonight and taking some shots under the table. What? That's the two options. Again, well, I'm not one to pull, or a stroke. Option three.
If he really doesn't drink, then maybe because of this he started pounding.
That, but how fast can you get drunk? And I don't think they were drinking.
Oh, I guarantee you, we could have Dell drunk in 10 minutes.
But they had,
because he doesn't drink; he's not used to it.
Right, but
a couple of shots and a beer, and boom, and then suddenly he's face down on the table. And Holly's taking advantage of him.
Listen, in these celebrations, it's not like these guys are popping bottles of Jack Daniels and chugging them. It's champagne and beer is what they're drinking.
Oh, I'm sure there's somebody back there with some really, really good stuff. There always is.
Maybe. But, boy.
I mean, the champagne and beer is for the lightweights. Let's be honest. The veterans, the old school guys... They're back there pounding whiskeys.
You think so?
Oh, God, yeah. They're doing shots.
So you think Steve Sparks was doing shots?
I don't know. I wasn't in there. I'm just going on what you're saying.
Okay.
So that I'm just...
Woo! You're going to the World Series, man! Can you believe it? Oh, my God, man. This is so much fun.
See, I always try to give the benefit of the doubt and think the best in people. And I'm guessing that, okay, maybe he's not a regular drinker and he just happened to... celebrate with the team a little too much, and that's okay. Everybody's excited. They're going to the World Series.
I think he hit a new level of.
I wish I had heard it because I think it may have been last year. I'm pretty sure one of them was in the locker room drunk that was doing that. I don't know.
It was probably Steve Sparks.
It may have been. I don't know, but I know that it was a very
like Budweiser man. Woo! I mean, he's an adventure. All right, you know what doesn't have to be an adventure? Shopping for electricity rates. And Triangle, they've tried to make sure it's not an adventure. They're born and raised in Texas company. They provide simple fixed rates, which means you'll pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. With no hidden fees, it's an easy, fast sign-up process. No gimmicks, no surprises on your bill. In fact, you'll receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill hits the mail. Lock in for 12, 24, or 36 months. And you won't have to worry about rate hikes. You can lock it in now. Triangle Energy, they keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay, and they're offering a discount for our listeners. Guys, if you check in with them now, you use the promo code ESPN at TriangleEnergy.com, you'll save even more money. How about that? What are you waiting for, guys? 877-93-EAGLE or TriangleEnergy.com. PUCT license number 10064. That's TriangleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN for Triangle Energy. You need a taste of your own medicine. 'Cause I'm sick to death for swallowing. Watch me take. To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com.